Welcome back to Cairo Nights, currently being infiltrated by the fattest member of the KGB, and also the deadliest member of the KGB, Billy Sunshine. Coming in his communist regalia, covered in medallions from years of fighting on behalf of the Red Soviets, BFFs with Vladimir Putin, Fat Billy Sunshine. Hi, Billy, how are you?
None of those things you just said about me are true.
They're all true, Billy. Every word that I just said.
First of all, I don't infiltrate. You invite me to call. Be honest. You need me on this wall. You want me on this wall.
Billy,
I need your help here.
What do you need my help with, Billy?
Well, you know, normally I have all the answers, but I have questions that I need answers for, and maybe you can help me with this.
Okay.
So, have you heard about these flyers that are being distributed around blaming Jews for COVID?
I have. That's in the fine state of Florida, right?
It's everywhere. So it happened in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And all over now.
Okay. So let me just clarify for the listening audience.
Yeah.
So there are tens of thousands of flyers that are being littered around major cities throughout the United States that are blaming the Jews for COVID-19. Billy, I'll tell you what my thought is that all roads eventually lead to the Jews, because all conspiracy theorists, if you're engaging in that kind of thought pattern, almost all of them end up being anti-Semitic. And I think it's really for – and this is everything. This is QAnon, flat earthers, you name it, Billy. It all goes back to
– Are they anti-Semitic too?
Oh, yeah. The Rothschilds and the Bilderbergs and the Goldsteins are trying to prevent us from knowing that the earth is on an infinite plane because God gave us infinite resources. Our Christian God gave us infinite resources, and the Jews are trying to hide it from us. Yeah, all roads lead back to anti-Semitism, Billy. It's really, really quite very sad.
Well, I've had it up to here with it, and here's my question for you.
Yeah.
It's a question both moral and legal.
Mm-hmm.
If I catch one of these people
mm-hmm.
distributing this stuff,
mm-hmm.
what can I do to them?
Well, Billy,
you know what I want to do to him, right?
Yeah, but this harkens back. Do you remember that one time when you were on the Drive Time show and you went on that screed about how you would shoot a Nazi in the head, and then the owner of the station told us that you weren't allowed to come on anymore? Do you remember this, Billy? Do you remember this?
Something like that happened, yeah.
Right. I think that whoever gets caught distributing these flyers, this is the problem with this whole thing, Billy, is you catch the person, they go to jail, they become a hero
friends.
God, Billy, I am in like the middle of explaining my thought process on this.
Wrong.
And so, Billy, let me get to the end of it before determine whether or not I am correct or incorrect about this, Billy. Like, let me flesh out a thought. It's only my job. It's only my job, Billy.
Not during this time. That's your job the rest of the time you're on the air.
and you see, this is the problem, Billy. I'm in a flow state when I'm speaking to everybody that I talk to on my show, and then you come in like a big fat boulder and just plant yourself right in the middle of my
staccato.
Flow.
And then we go staccato. No flow, staccato.
So the problem is that this person gets arrested, and then all the other anti-Semites out there view this as being confirmation. They get confirmation bias out of it. They say, oh, look, you see, BLM can distribute all these flyers, but a white man wants to go around and pass around flyers showing the truth about the Jewish menace. We can't. This it's confirmation bias. This is how people end up in anti-Semitism, Billy.
So my question is this: you said that they get arrested for what?
Oh, I'm sure that you can drum up a litany of charges against these people. I mean, look at the guy, Billy. Look at the guy, Billy, who was in Connecticut, who was harassing those little Hispanic girls in that smoothie store. I mean, he's got three charges coming after him: intimidation based on racial bias, a criminal trespass. I mean, you can throw charges at anybody, Billy.
So now let's imagine. Here's my question for you.
Right.
Here's the scenario. Let's play it out.
Okay.
I catch this guy,
mm-hmm.
and I want to hurt him bad, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take him to jail.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to effect a citizen arrest, and he resists.
Right.
What happens?
Well, let's consult the McMichaels, Billy. Let's see what they're up to. Let's Travis and Greg McMichael. They are in prison for the rest of their lives, Billy, for murder. That's what happened to those guys, the guys who killed Ahmed Aubrey. So, I mean, what do you want, Billy? Do you want to engage in some kind of power fantasy with a Nazi? Because that got you fired last time, Billy. Last time you did this. Last time you tried to engage in a revenge porn power fantasy against Nazis, you got fired from Radio City. I mean, of course you were on the very next day, but you see what I'm saying, Billy, that you can engage in all your chest pounding all you want when it comes to dealing with anti-Semites, but the fact of the matter is we live in a civilized society. We don't live in communist Russia, and so we have laws in the United States, Billy, which is something that
there's nothing civilized about trying to get Jews hurt.
Billy, I don't know what answer you want out of this. Like, do you want me to give you the okay to hurt people for distributing flyers, Billy? Like, what is the end point? You want me to validate your feelings around this, Billy? What do you want from me?
I want to know, I mean, it's a serious question. I really want to know what would happen. You know, how would it play out? You know, if I caught one of these guys. How do you think it would play out?
Okay, Billy, all they would have to do is jog lightly away from you, and then they would get away scot-free. They have to not even really a run, just a brisk walk away from you down the block.
But if I want to die, you know, think about it. I'm big, and, you know, I have still some power left. I would try to detain him.
And then you would eat him. You would eat him. You would eat him alive because you are.
Sit on him and eat him.
You would sit on him and you would eat him alive, Billy, because that's what people who are like you do. You eat human beings alive. Hey, speaking of, by the way, Billy, human beings, Joe Biden called out Peter Ducey the other day.
What a son of a gun he is.
So this is a bunch of the cause of a tremendous amount of pearl clutching today, because the president of the United States, Billy, said a reporter was a son of a gun. He said he was an SOB. And all my friends on the right, Billy, you know what they're doing? They're saying, this president isn't a return to normalcy. This isn't very presidential whatsoever. As a matter of fact, this shows that Joe Biden has dementia, which I do think that Joe Biden has dementia, and I do think that Joe Biden is a lukewarm intellect at best. However, Donald Trump in 2016, 2017, 2018 referred to reporters as SOBs. So this is not unprecedented, and it's not without this is the way that people talk. And he's the president of the United States. I don't like Joe Biden, but him calling Peter Ducey an SOB is like a one on a scale from out of everything that I care about from the Biden
administration. When you tell the truth, okay?
Peter Ducey, by the way, Billy, he's got to be almost as tall as you are, because he towers over everybody in this clip that we're about to play. I had no idea that Peter Ducey was 8 feet tall. Here's what that sounded like yesterday. It's caught on C-SPAN. President Joe Biden caught on a hot mic ripping into Peter Ducey after Peter Ducey asked him about inflation.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
So, Billy, there you go. You have the President of the United States referring to Peter Ducey as an SOB. What are we going to do, Billy? What are we going to do? The President said something off the cuff. Billy, tell me.
Of course, I can tell, Jack.
Yeah.
A couple of things going on there.
Yeah.
First of all,
yeah.
Reporters are like you, short. They're short men. So who knows how tall Ducey really is? You're a tiny little man. And and the other thing is that I think that particular utterance proves that he's not got dementia, because he nailed the reality of it clearly.
Okay, so Billy, I might pose this to you. Jim Acosta is not a good reporter. Jim Acosta is a vindictive and cruel and vitriolic man. When Donald Trump threw him out of that press conference and had some strong words to say that I dare not repeat on my own radio program out of fear for my own job. Everybody collectively lost their mind. They said that this was an attack on the free press, so on and so forth. So I ask you, Billy, when all of my conservative friends come to me and they say, is this not an attack on the free press? Could you not say that what is bad for one president is bad for the gander, as the saying?
I would deal with specifics, and I would suggest that, for example, Trump, if he could, would like to jail any journalists who say nasty things about him.
Okay.
And that's the true danger of a Trump versus a Biden, who just states his honest opinion about the press and moves on.
Well,
in this case, it's not the press in general, but it's a very specific guy. And Donald Trump hated everything about the press and called it fake news. That's dangerous to a country.
Well, so Billy, this is an interesting observation, and I'm keen to agree with you on this. That is very dangerous. In the same way that the Biden administration using the Department of Justice to prosecute reporters and whistleblowers for the entirity of the 8 years that Biden was in office, or not Biden, excuse me, Obama was in office. That's pretty brutal, right? So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Obama had the DOJ with Eric Holder. He had a real penchant for going after government whistleblowers and also people who were reporters who were working with government whistleblowers. So we see this as it pertains to Julian Assange. We see this as it pertains to Edward Snowden. We see this as it pertains to Chelsea Manning. This insistence.
None of these were journalists, really. I mean, maybe a sign.
Well, but the Obama administration went after Glenn Greenwald and the Guardian, so on and so forth, Billy. I mean, this is pretty egregious behavior from any president, right? And so I suppose that if we look at what is actually a physical attack on the free press, that would be the example that I would give to you. In conjunction, Billy, I will say this, in conjunction with the general cultural milieu that Trump created by calling anything that he didn't like fake news. Anything that he thought was reprehensible, he referred to as fake news. So, which, by the way, Billy, speaking of, do you remember when you and I were talking last week about To Kill a Mockingbird and you told me not to believe everything that I read in the paper? Do you remember this, Billy?
Right. Yeah,
do you remember this? You remember you said don't believe everything you read, Jack Stein, in the paper?
I couldn't believe that To Kill a Mockingbird was actually being thrown out of the library.
Right, but then I read you the story, and then you, what was your phrasing, Billy? You said, don't believe everything. How do I know that's true? You said, how do I possibly know that's true? Right. He said, I'm not there. How could I possibly know? And I said, Billy, that's a stupid argument. Do you remember that? Do you remember this whole conversation?
Yeah. I don't remember anything.
Okay, so To Kill a Mockingbird will be removed from ninth grade required reading in Mukilteo. That's in the Mukilteo School District in Washington State for you, Billy, because you don't live here. But it's going to be removed from the ninth grade English language arts required reading list.
Wow.
And that is because a parent complained about the fact that in that book, the N-word is used in excess of 50 times. And so it is now removed because it is too racially charged, Billy. So
the point I'd like to make is two things. A, that's insane.
Yes.
And B, it's removed from the required reading list, not from the library.
It is not removed from the
very
library.
Different.
That is, it
very
is not removed from the library. That is correct.
That's what I said. Yes.
So, here's the thing: is that the novel remains on the district approved list and is not banned. So, it's not like technically banned, but it's off of the required reading list.
So two things there: A, it's still in the library, and B, my point that I made that parents should not be allowed to tell teachers what to teach or what books go in the library.
Billy,
I'm horrified.
Billy,
by
you,
allowing
you and I both know that this is wrong.
Billy,
parents. You know that you and I both know that this is wrong, right? Because it's parents out there. It's so this is so bizarre, Billy. So in Florida, let's take a state that you hate, Billy. In Florida, Ron DeSantis is telling teachers what they can and can't teach, right? And it's parents who are coming out and saying, we want our kids to actually learn quote-unquote history. So in that instance, Billy, should parents not be telling the state what their kids should and should not be learning?
In all instances, parents should not tell. Well, no, it's not true. I can't say that. You're right. You got to take it pragmatically, a piece at a time.
Oh, yes. I finally did it, Billy. I was right. I finally beat you again, Billy. It's your own game. I use facts and logic, Billy. In your face. Facts and logic. America wins again, Billy. In your communist face. Yes. Boom, Billy. Boom in your face. Yes.
I told you I'd cheer you up and get you into the radio thing
today. Oh, man, Billy. I love being right. I love being right so much. Billy, I love being right more than I love anything else. I swear to God. There's something about being correct in a circumstance and then using facts and logic to defeat the liberal menace known as Billy Sunshine. Just rub it in your filthy face, Billy. It is amazing. And I will not let this go for some time. You know what, Billy? We didn't get to talk about unions, which I'm disappointed about. So I guess we'll have to save that for another point in time. I will touch on it, though, Billy, in the last couple of minutes that we have together.
There's always tomorrow.
There's a concrete worker strike that has been crippling construction projects in King County. It basically goes like this. It's the light rail expansion project, which I've talked about with Chris Sullivan multiple times on this show. And the basic idea is that there's about 300 concrete workers who are continuing their strike against six King County companies. So these are companies that are being contracted by the county. And they're not getting what they need. So Sound Transit has not received 14,000 cubic yards of concrete. It's pretty rough. It's about 1,400 missed deliveries. And so, Billy, this, I think, is another great example. This is what I wanted to argue with you about, Billy, before we got off track talking about Florida, that unions at the public level like this, when it's a public-private partnership, are a nightmare. And instead of the people, the John Q. taxpayer, getting what they paid for, now they're being held up by 7 weeks. I'm curious about your thoughts on this, Billy.
Well, I don't know the specifics, certainly, but I believe in the union movement. I think that workers in America are in trouble because the union movement has basically been almost destroyed. But you might have a good example there, and let's talk about it tomorrow.
I agree with this, Billy. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And thank you, Billy, for riveting conversation and admitting that I was right and that America wins yet again.
You're only right because you agree with me. When you agree with me, you get to be right.
We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, when Tariq Ansari is going to be on the line, we're going to do a little cringer-based coming up right after this.
We want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded.
Yeah! Take the motion.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, when, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a party.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Joining us is our senior Zoomer correspondent, one Tariq Ansari. Tariq, you are so far in the lead with one based and no cringes. And as we all know, based on the law of averages, if you have too many cringes and not enough baseds by Friday, you get fired. So, and I don't make the rules, I just follow them, Tariq. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and with that logic, I've been fired seven times or something like that, right? I mean, along those lines. I keep getting picked back up. I don't know. I guess the charm, it just really works.
Yeah, I guess so, Tariq. But what do you got for us this evening, buddy? I'm curious what's going on in the world of cringe or based.
Well, in the world of cringe or based, we're going to go all the way to Disney. That's right, the most magical place on the earth. And by my tone, you can probably guess I don't think very highly of Disney. So here's the deal. Snow White, they're going to do a live action version of it. Why? Who knows? Money. That's why. Money.
Yeah.
And essentially this comes out and apparently news breaks that the Snow White character will be played by a Latinx actress.
Based.
Great. Awesome.
Based.
Based. I agree with that. Based. We're not going to be talking about that though.
Oh.
We're going to be talking about the fact that Peter Dinklage came out and called out Snow White for basically advancing the fact that, oh, we're going to have a Latinx actress as Snow White, but doing nothing about the dwarf situation.
Oh,
you see,
God.
Here's the deal. Peter Dinklage feels like, you know, the fact is these dwarves, well, it seems outdated, the concept of having dwarves in this new live action Snow White remake. And a lot of headlines were like, oh, come on, Peter. Some defended him, saying, well, you know, honestly, a lot of people assume certain things. And Disney's actually come out and said, you know, we're going to take a different approach with the seven dwarves in this new live action Snow White. And here's what I think is actually based. The fact is, the seven dwarves in the original movie back in 1937 or something like that always freaked me out. And they freaked me out because they wore the weirdest hats and their voices kind of scared me. And I honestly think translating that into real life would be a little insensitive. And also, if you want to have a more realistic live action remake, just make them just all different types of people, not just all, you know, little people. Just incorporate a lot of different groups.
Tarek,
And here's the deal. It's not Jack. It's not for equality purposes. It's just to make it unique and different. Nothing against the original movie, but what you got to do with the remake, if you make the remake just like the original, there's no point. So don't make it the same damn movie.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Tarek, okay. All right, Tarek, listen. I need you to understand something. Just so everybody knows, if you're not familiar with Peter Dinklage, he's one of the best working actors of the last, I want to say, 10 or 15 years. Peter Dinklage, as an actor, is unreal in his ability to emote, convey emotion, convey vulnerability. He also just so happens to be a little person. Most famously, he was Tywin Lannister. No, who was he in the Game of Thrones? I always forget the name. I never remember Game of Thrones names. What is it? Tyrion? Tywin?
I think it's Tyrion, but I could be, yeah, Tyrion.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, he was a little person in Game of Thrones, and he was great in Game of Thrones, and he is a phenomenal actor, and I would love to meet him and talk about his acting process. At the same time, this is what an idiot would say. This is what a stupid person would say. We can't have Snow White and the Seven Dwarves because dwarves is politically incorrect. Tarek, if you were based about this, this is what you would say. Dwarves, the original purpose of the word dwarf, is to talk about a small, fanciful creature in the Netherlands. It's a dwarf. It's a little teeny tiny creature who lives in a mushroom who makes cookies. Wee, isn't this so fun? And now, Peter Dinklage has to take a term, which has been approved, by the way, by little people. They don't like being called midgets. They prefer to be called dwarves or little people. And now he has to cry all the way home because Disney has decided to remake a film of which they own the copyright to. The name Snow White and the Seven Dwarves is owned by Disney Corp. It is licensed by Disney Corp. And now he's crying and whining about the fact that they're going to have fun and fanciful creatures. Tarek, let me explain something to you. You got me so fired up about this, Tarek. This is so irritating. This is America, Tarek. This is America. Oh, and in America, this is what we do. We celebrate tales of folklore and magic and all kinds of fanciful things like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And if you're the kind of idiot who wants to come to me and say, well, that's offensive to somebody, it's in the story. That's the whole point of the story, is that it's little people, little fanciful people, and you ruin it by coming in and saying, well, that hurts my feelings. Too bad. Everybody else likes it. This is dumb. This is so stupid. I can't believe that people are entertaining this whatsoever, Tarek. I'm serious. Yeah. Can we not have nice things? Hold on, Tarek. I want nice things. I want Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. I don't care if it's multicultural or not. Stick to the book. That's the way that it's written. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you done, Jack?
Hold on. The music has got to...
Oh, yeah. We got to let it finish.
Hold on. Let's all wait for the emotional... Okay, now I'm done. I'm done now, Tarek.
Okay, good. You still have an hour of radio to do, so if you wanted to get a drink of water, now's your chance. Take a deep breath. Just, you know, I know you're getting a little older now, so just take a deep breath.
Tarek, get on my level. This is stupid.
Okay, fine, Jack. I'll get on your level. I did my mess. I'm trying to hold back because... Okay, here's the deal. Each time this story of Snow White, which, by the way, dates back to 1812, each time the story has come out, the first iteration, Snow White was seven. Okay, Snow White was 7.
Okay.
And the dwarves had different characteristics. They were a little creepier, and the whole narrative was a little too intense. So they dialed it down a little bit in 1937 for the movie that Walt Disney put out. Great movie, by the way. I never said that the original movie wasn't great or wasn't nice. I still enjoy watching it, okay?
Okay.
They made Snow White 14. They made the dwarves harder working and kinder. And now we are here 85 years later, and I am not here to tell you we can't have nice things. I am saying, if you're doing a live action remake of a movie that is 85 years old, that as it is awesome, then you might be better served reimagining it. I'm not saying that the whole idea of dwarves in movies is insensitive.
Tarek, I hate you.
I'm saying, no,
this is the worst thing.
Let me finish, Jack. You went on a tirade and you brought to the radio.
This is insane. Tarek.
It is not insane.
This is
what. I'm literally just asking you to consider maybe changing the 7 dwarves into 7 other types of people for this movie.
No.
I am not saying.
No.
I just try it. If you do the same thing again, it's boring. It's boring. And it's just done.
Wait,
to do the same thing over and over again.
Did you see the movie that they made with Chris Hemsworth and Kristen Stewart a while? I think it was called The Huntsman, and it was the story of Snow White and the 7 Dwarves, but told by from the angle of the Huntsman. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
You got all kinds of great. You got Nick Frost as one of the little people. You got Simon Pegg as one of the little people. You've got Bob Hoskins, one of the greatest actors of all time, as one of the little people. It mm-hmm. was a really great rendition of the film. I would love to go see that. If it's Snow White and the averaged height dudes, I'm going to lose my mind, Tark. If it's Snow White and the 5'7 to 5'11 dudes, I will literally start screaming in the movie theater. Why can't we have nice things, Tark? Because of people like you who capitulate to Peter Dinklage being a whiny little baby on this issue. All right, Tarek, we got to get out of here. I'm done with you.
Oh.
I'm kicking you off my radio show. Cringe.
Oh, nice.
Giga cringe, Tarek. Giga cringe.
Thank you so much.
You are now 1-1, Tarek. And tomorrow when you come on the show, Tarek, best.
Why do you act like my dad? You're like, Tarek, you know what? Go to your room. Please stop. This is not okay. I can't believe. I don't agree with you. This is making me so mad. I'm Jack Stein. I'm the number one rated host. And I just want you to know.
Tarek, I'm kicking you off now. We'll be right We'll be right back with News of the World coming up right after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, to our award-winning segment, which has been called the fastest growing newest segment in the Pacific Northwest. A little segment we like to call
Cairo Radio presents News of the World with Shane Peterson.
That's right, News of the World with Sugar Shane Peterson, where Shane takes us to strange foreign lands. Lands with names like California. Lands with names like Oklahoma Way, where they say that the rivers are filled with gold, and the Native Americans out there bring us corn during the winter. News of the World. Sugar Shane Peterson. So, Shane, the only thing that you told me today is that you told me two things about this story, is that it's good and that we have a correspondent in the field. So I'm curious who we have in the field, and I'm curious what the story is about. So what's the story about, first and foremost?
Absolutely, Jack. So for News of the World, we're going to the great state of New York, where a once prominent California attorney – and now, Jack, I always mess this up. It's Michael Avenatti.
Avenatti, yeah,
Avenatti. Nailed it first try. Let's go. So we have a California attorney named Michael Avenatti, who is going to be representing himself in a criminal trial after he has been sued by client and former porn star, Miss Stormy Daniels, over the claims that he stole some of the money that she was owed for her autobiography, Full Disclosure. And apparently, he came out today and was given the whole green flag by U.S. District Judge Jesse M. Furman to say, hey, man, you can represent yourself in this case. And apparently, he made $300,000 of the $800,000 advance pay that Daniels was supposed to get for her book. book in 2018, full disclosure. And, you know, it's kind of a very interesting thing that's kind of going on because obviously, Jack, in the history of big, big trials, especially when you make it up to some of these higher echelons of the justice system, it seems like only the crazy people represent themselves. Like, it seems like at a certain point, you got to bring some of the bros in or some people that you can trust, you know, maybe a couple back alley brothers that can come help you out, that can, you know, punch some numbers and help you with it. But
Shane, I'm going through our paperwork here. I'm just, you're gonna have to give me just our legal correspondent is not Larry. He doesn't come in on Tuesdays. Our legal correspondent, oh, everybody's busy except for, is Jimmy, do we send Jimmy to New York? Is Jimmy in New York?
Jimmy
right now?
Is currently in New York. You want me to get him on right now?
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. Usually, I thought we took him off of the. I thought we took him off that list of legal consultants. Jimmy, Jimmy Ray, welcome to the show. Jimmy, I didn't know that you had a career in law at all. Jimmy, I thought that you had. I thought you were more into like trucks and chewing tobacco and things like that.
Well, listen, where I come from, Mr. Stein, there's a lot of guys out there that sometimes find themselves in a little bit of trouble. You know, I have a few cousins out there, not Cousin Ed. I hate that guy, and he's not my kin, so don't you bring up Cousin Ed.
Yeah.
But I got some other cousins. You know, Cousin Jesse's had a few run-ins with the law, so it's not my first rodeo when I talk about the legal system. You know, I've done some readings, Mr. Stein, and I think I got a good grasp on it. And as you know, I am in a legal dispute right now in a separation with Darlene. So, you know, having a lawsuit over, you know, a good-looking woman and a man who's representing himself, you know, I can relate to this gentleman quite some bit.
Wait, Jimmy, you're representing yourself in your divorce from your wife?
Oh, you know what, Jack? What? I don't trust nobody else. Everybody else, every time I talk to them and I explain to them the situation, they're like, sir, you ain't got much of a leg to stand on. I'm like, brother, I got two right now, and I'll stand up and disclose myself and let them know that what happened and how this whole relationship came to a fall through was because Alabama could not cover the back third and that we lost the national championship, and I had nothing to do with it. I did not take responsibility for the Crimson Tide ruining my year and me having a meltdown and having it ruining my marriage altogether.
Wait, but Jimmy, if I remember correctly, last time you and Shane spoke, you said that like that QAnon had something to do with the fact that the Crimson Tide lost the game, and you weren't making a lot of sense. I'm curious, are you going to bring that up with the lawsuit that the Clintons had something to do with the Crimson Tide losing?
Well, let's listen here, Jack. Don't you be twisting up my words here on the radio right now. There was no reason for you to be bringing in the Q. You know, the thing is, I do have my suspicions, but the thing is as I've learned from my time here at Cairo with my professional journalistic integrity and skills, is that, you know, I must do a little bit more research, but I do have my suspicions.
Okay, so, Jimmy, just to be totally clear about this, in your professional legal opinion, is Michael Avenatti representing himself in a trial where he is going to be found guilty of ripping off Stormy Daniels of $300,000? Do you think that he's going to win this case, or do you think that he's going to – how do you think this is going to go?
Well, if I know anything about how these attorneys work in the justice system, at least what I've experienced thus far, is that he's probably really just going to – he's not going to be paying $300,000. He's going to have to pay twice that and then 40%, and then he's going to have to give up the vacation home. He's going to have to give up a lot more than that $300,000, brother, and I'll be the first to tell you here on Cairo Night.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate you coming on, friend. And roll tide, Jimmy. Roll tide.
Roll tide.
This is Jimmy Ray there, our senior legal correspondent on News of the World with Shane Peterson. Wow. News of the World, where we go to strange places and talk to strange people. People like Jimmy Ray. People like Michael Avenatti. People who are clearly going to lose their lawsuit because it's totally meritless. News of the World here on Cairo Nights. Wow, Shane, wow. That was... I don't know why he's on the legal list. Shane, can you explain to me why he's on the list of our correspondents when it comes to the law?
You know, when I interviewed him and he pulled out his resume, you know, he did claim that he does have a pre-law degree from the University of American Samoa. So, you know, it checked out. So,
yes.
I mean, we just got to roll with it.
Hey, speaking of, by the way, Stacey Jo Ross going to be coming on in a couple of few, and we're going to be talking about, what is this, TikTok. There's a new study out about TikTok, and I think you're going to want to stick around. We'll be right back right after this.